The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Welcome back. It's Friday, the 29th, and we are very close to 2024. We are, and very few people are catching on to this. I think it's beginning, but I've been watching this Colorado taking Trump off the ballot caper. Now they put him back on pending the Supreme Court. Well, I didn't know there was a case in front of the court. I knew there was going to be one introduced, but I guess somebody got one in there real quick, and they are allegedly taking a look at it. Maine, 2 days ago, took Trump off its ballot as well. So what do we have here? We have an issue that goes back to the founding fathers and their whole philosophy of creating this country and the Constitution. And that issue is very simply stated as states' rights. Remember what caused the Civil War? States' rights. So we face right now the greatest peril and threat that we have faced since 1860, just before the Civil War broke out. If the Supreme Court rules that the states have that right to take a national political figure off a ballot in that state because of states' rights, this country will fall apart. All the red states will take Biden off the ballot. All the blue states will take Trump off the ballot. What does that tell you? That tells you we have no election for president, no viable, legitimate election for president in this country next year. And the bread and circuses bullshit, which is what it is, which is going to begin on January the 15th with the Iowa caucuses and then Super Tuesday in March and all that, that whole year-long charade is going to be null and void. It'll be a moot point. It won't happen. It won't matter. States' rights. I've always been a very strong believer in states' rights. And in a way, I can see the Supreme Court making that ruling. I think it's correct. I think it's certainly reasonable, if not mandatory. States have rights over the federal tyranny in this country. And that, unfortunately, may well include barring people from the ballot, like they're trying to do already in Colorado and Maine. Well, they've done it. Colorado, again, has provisionally reinstated Trump until and pending a Supreme Court decision. But mark my words, this country could literally disintegrate with this ruling. Think about it. This is big. All right, we have the pleasure of having my friend of many years back on with us tonight, Dr. David Duke, who is down in Louisiana, or Louisiana. David, welcome back. Glad to have you.
Well, great to be here, Jeff, and this is a great subject, and one I'm happy to say that I've been knowing about and researching ever since my days at LSU and even before then. I know a lot about the 14th Amendment, and it's kind of funny, but when you wanted to talk about this issue, you didn't even realize that. But I've written a lot about it over the years, and I've studied it very deeply in university. I discussed it a lot with a great history teacher at LSU.
Right. May I ask a question? Hold on, my friend. Did I state that with enough concern and urgency? This is a big deal. I think I'm right.
Yes, it is. It is. It is a big deal. It's hard to believe that the Supreme Court ruled this way. And I would like to clarify a little bit.
Well, they haven't ruled yet, David. They haven't ruled yet.
I know.
Depending upon what they rule, that's our future.
If they rule that Trump can be kept off the ballot, it's absolutely, in my opinion, a violation of the Constitution of the United States, because the Constitution of the United States is embedded with it in the First Amendment, freedom of speech. And freedom of speech, he's running for office. And when they did the requirements for office in the Constitution, basic requirements, which has not been revised in that sense, the basic requirements are simply two. One, you were born in the United States of America, and you're of legal age to assume the office. And that was purposeful by our founding fathers, because they know that governments can go terribly corrupt. They know that tyrants, they've been dealing with tyrants throughout history, and they also believed in the right of people to rebel. And the truth is, this whole 14th Amendment goes right back to what's called the Civil War. But we Southerners don't call it a civil war, because it really wasn't a civil war. Because, generally speaking, a civil war is when one faction in a country, whether it be an ethnic faction, a political faction, a religious faction, tries to take over the whole country. A war for independence is a war where a section of the country wants to exercise their right to have a government of their own choosing and laws of their own choosing and the rights of their own choosing. That's exactly what America was founded on. America was founded on the Declaration of Independence, which absolutely says and states that every people, including the people that became the United States with that document, had the right to have a government that was in their interest, a government of their own choosing. And that's why that gave them the right to rebel against the king, to commit, quote, treason against the king of Britain, even though many of the people served and fought for the king. So the Constitution is really clear about this. And the truth is, and this is another shocking fact that people just don't know, many constitutional scholars did not believe the 14th Amendment was legally ratified. And by the way, even if you say that it's legally ratified, which it isn't, because it was based by blackmailing and extorting Southern states to say, unless, you know, they got this amendment or they signed off on this amendment, they couldn't serve in the Congress. They couldn't, their elected senators couldn't serve, their congressmen couldn't serve. And by the way, ultimately, in many, many decisions, it was the Washington, D.C., the Congress of the United States, the city of the United States, offered many former Confederates who took part in the war from the Southern point of view. They respected them, and they allowed them not only to be elected to the Senate, but they even served on the Supreme Court of the United States. And that's because the people of the Congress knew that the 14th Amendment was ridiculous, because how in the world do you do a document? And by the way, even if you accept the fact, I hope everybody's following this. If you have any questions, Jeff, please go in, because I'm sure people have questions about it. Okay? Now, when the Constitution, for instance, the Constitution says that treason is a great crime, right? But the Constitution doesn't say that a person convicted of treason can't run for office or can't vote at all. Think about it. Murder is a terrible crime. You could be a traitor who sells out the country to another country, causing the death of a million troops or a million Americans, selling like atomic bomb to another country, right? And then that taking those lives. But the Constitution doesn't prescribe any sort of taking away of your fundamental rights if once you serve the sentence or whatever. You can be prosecuted, of course.
Sure.
So, but all these things, when they talk about murder, when they talk about treason, they're not saying somebody just accused of treason or said to be treasonous. It's all about a due process of law. You have to be convicted of this crime. You have to be convicted of treason. You have to be convicted. And even the Insurrection Act, that's talking about supposedly a criminal act. So how in the world, without any due process, without any action of our judiciary, and judiciary can be used, and you can be thought of to think of judiciary in a couple of ways.
Yeah,
it's a very interesting word these days to describe our legal system. But that's what we have.
I hope all of you got the joke, and it's okay. It was a clever
little joke.
Judiciary. Got it.
So since the time of the 14th Amendment, the government has not gone against anybody. They serve if Confederate generals, and even guess what? Even the former Confederate president, one of the top levels of the government of the Confederacy, actually served in the Congress of the United States, or the Senate, I don't remember which these days, but they actually served. Now, if they could serve, then how in the world are you going to get rid of Trump? And remember that there were millions of people disfranchised after the war. Another good example of the terrible crimes against the Southern people in the Black Reconstruction period. Europeans in the South, white people in the South, if they took part in any government, if they were a member of a school board, local school board, or a city in the South, if they were a member of a state government, if they were a member of the Confederate government, the Confederation that the South was, if they were a member of any of those things, right? If they ever served in the military, if they ever served in the independence forces of the South, okay, they were automatically disfranchised from their rights, and this was such an arbitrary thing. They weren't called into court. They didn't have to prove that they served. They didn't do anything. They just did this wholesale, which is the most basic rights of all, habeas corpus, and the right of due process is fundamentally in our Constitution. It's in our legal processes even before America was America. So the idea of disfranchising Donald Trump, of not allowing him to serve office if he's elected or if he's just even trying to get in the ballot because he's supposedly an insurrectionist. So
right. One
guy, Secretary of State, can say, well, he can't serve because he was an insurrectionist. He hadn't been tried and convicted in this country. So there's no idea like this in the old Constitution that says somebody just by being accused of something or by someone believing that in some state position or federal position. This is a
federal position.
States don't determine, by the way. I've been convicted of a crime. Yeah, I've been convicted, even though, you know, I can't defend myself by showing a document from the federal government showing, after they did an audit of me for my taxes, which I was sent to prison for, that I'd actually overpaid my taxes. I've got that document. I can prove it, right? And I can put it in Wikipedia, but they won't let me put it in there because they don't want people to see the truth about me. But I know how the system works. But right now, even with anybody with any conviction, even a serious conviction, even treason, can run for office for the U.S. Senate, for the Congress, as long as they're old enough, and they are also, you know, and for presidency if they're born in the United States of America. So,
let me say this, David. Hold before you move on. This is really important, and I don't put anything past. Any of the three branches of government, I just don't. I think the Congress is as useless as it could possibly be. The executive branch, you know what that's all about. And the Supreme Court. They could come down, theoretically, on a 5-4 vote, whatever, and say, we're going to be strict states' rights guardians here, and we're going to come down on the side of states' rights, and they have, for whatever reason they choose, the right to decide who in their state gets on whatever ballot. They could do that. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's constitutionally correct, but that could happen. So don't be shocked if it does.
Because there is no law in America anymore. There's only Jewish supremacy.
There's no law. They
will do anything they need to do to make sure that Jews remain in control of the United States of America, that they still are able to send Americans to fight and die in war for Jews and for lies, like in the Iraq War, neocons. It's even admitted in Israeli papers, right? And you know what? We've had a problem in this country for a long, long time. Even back, and I'm saying this goes all the way back to the war between the states, because I believe the war between the states was a war, by the way, launched by the North, not the South. The North did not try, like I say, it wasn't a civil war. The South didn't try. In fact, even when they had a chance, they could have conquered. They could have taken D.C. and defeated them. They defeated the North in the battles in Northern Virginia. They could have walked into D.C. and taken over
the biggest mistake they made, perhaps. They should have.
Right. But they didn't do it. You know why? Because they said, okay, we won. There's been certain lives, great lives, lost on each side. You know, we just want to go our own way. We're not trying to take away the rights of the northern people. We're not trying to dictate to them what their laws are. We're not trying to control who runs them. We're not trying to rule over them as a conqueror. So we're going to go back home, hopefully. We're going to, you know, and we hopefully you'll respect our right to choose our own government the same way that you had that as the founding principle of America, which all of us in the South were heroes in that war. A great deal of the fighting came in the southern part of the United States.
Exactly.
And without the Southern Patriots, there wouldn't have even been America. And just as they fought against the king, which they one time served and risked their lives for, and what was Great Britain, which was their country, so to speak, you know, they fought for the rights of the American people and a new idea because they believed in the principle that every people. Now, the 14th Amendment is just like everything else that they do. It is that they'll make any excuse. Everything is pragmatic to them. They'll make any ruling on anything, and that's why there are so many contradictions in our laws. That's why we have such a different legal system for different people in the system. For instance, the Constitution says, even by the 14th Amendment, equal opportunity, all those kind of equal rights for all. We have massive institutionalized discrimination against white people, even in government, that give blacks and other minorities a privileged position. Even the federal courts, for instance, in my home state of Louisiana, and this is something you're not going to believe it, but wait till you hear it. For a lot of you who never heard about this, and everybody should have heard about it, because it's a good example of how the rights of the American people are being contravened whenever it's convenient for the government to do that. And I've got some other examples that I can share with you as well, and it's some really good ones considering the time of year it is. But one great example of this incredible hypocrisy is in the state of Louisiana. A Jewish guy, he was a Jew, and he was up for not too many Jews in coaching, but he wanted to be hired as a coach, and he went to federal court. Well, because he wasn't black, blacks are on those perspective, you know, what they call privileged people in America. Again, that's against the rules of the Constitution, the same 14th Amendment, right? But that's never enforced, right? So the Jewish guy said, well, actually, I'm a member of a race. I'm a Jew, and Jews are a race, and they offered all the evidence that Jews are a race, and they really are a race, to tell you the truth. But, of course, the federal government has never made them a privileged people by any means, like they are blacks. It's not every race that gets this privileged position. And on that basis, a federal court ruled against the university, saying that Jews are a race, and they should have hired him because they're a privileged position. And there are millions of white people and millions of non-Jews who are not hired for positions in a position that they should be hired by their merits because of the fact they're given this special privilege because they're not white. It's okay to discriminate.
Yeah. David, now, you should also include privileged status and talk about Ivy League school admissions real quick.
Absolutely.
Just real quick.
Massive.
Go ahead.
Well, massively in Ivy League schools, Jews are 2% of the population in the United States. Now, in terms of national merit scholarships, right, Jews constitute about 3%, maybe 4% of the top numbers of just because that's the numbers that they have. But in the Ivy League schools like Harvard, Penn, Yale, we can keep going. In these schools, Jews have massive overrepresentation. It even gets worse in the graduate schools. Now, if you graduate with a PhD from Harvard, period, you graduate with a PhD from Harvard, your ticket is punched, baby, because you graduate from the most prestigious doctoral school in the country. You're the first person chosen by the university to head their department. You're the first person who other people have books up at a publishing house or a script. If you've got a PhD or a doctorate in any way from Harvard, you get the job. And when you add in there the fact that practically all these corporations, or many of them, like the media corporations, the biggest media corporations in the world are run by Jews. And Jews have a heads up there. They have definitely a heads up, just like Disney was taken over by Jews. And now they have policies that totally disagree with those policies. Guess what the percentage, according to Hillel, the same Hillel that is trying to stop freedom of speech on campuses, because nowadays, if you simply say out loud the fact that Jews, and that's what Israel is, it's a state run with Jewish supremacism, they call it a Jewish state. They make you call it a Jewish state. They tell Congress to say we support Israel as a Jewish state. But so if you say Jews, not just simply Israelis, or something like, if you say Jews are committing a massive atrocity, how many times do we hear about Russian atrocities? How many times Russians are committing atrocities? How about we talk about Russian campaign interference? Now, Jews don't call themselves Israelis, but that doesn't sound good to talk about Jewish or Jewish interfering in our elections. But Jews do interfere in elections. I heard an interview with Scott Ritter, and this is kind of current, too, in terms of what's going on in Gaza. They heard an interview with Scott Ritter, a very interesting interview, and he got a few things a little bit wrong, right? But he did talk about the power that AIPAC has, American Israel Public Affairs Committee. And he talked about the fact that Israel is controlling our foreign policy, our wars. They're making us send, billions of dollars overseas to Ukraine, and a lost cause that's killing Ukrainians and hurting lots of people that shouldn't be hurt. It's not that's a good right. war, and this is a war that they brought about.
No, no.
And what he said? He said, they almost called it a Jewish lobby. He says, well, I don't want to call it a Jewish lobby because that's anti-Semitic. Well, the truth is, it's not a lobby that's really coming out of Israel. It's a lobby of Jews who are dedicated to Israel, and they're Jews inside the United States of America that put Israel first. Same thing is true of Jews in Europe. It is a Jewish lobby, and it's a powerful lobby. And 18 of the biggest contributors to Hillary Clinton were Jewish billionaires that are all Jewish Zionists. Jewish Zionists represent the great bulk of Jews. And that doesn't mean, and again, I praise to the highest of heavens, I praise the heavens, those Jews are exposing the supremacism and the murder of Palestinians. Today, they call you an anti-Semite simply because you oppose the Jewish mass murder of Palestinian children by the thousands, That makes you an anti-Semite,
because
you oppose Jewish mass murder.
Let me finish
one little point here, because I think it's important, if you don't mind. I'll just finish one quick thing.
Go.
Okay. But listen, folks, Scott Ritter is wrong. What's going on in Gaza is not anything new. It's been going on for 45 years. They violated 200 resolutions. They don't join the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. They don't join the Chemical Weapons Committee. Any other nation that would do that, they become like North Korea, right? Put on the outside of society and they're sanctioned. Israel isn't. They violated every human right. But Jews controlled communism at one time, just like they control America today and our diplomacy, like the Blinken, and they control communism, and they killed tens of millions of Christians in Russia. In Ukraine by itself, that little country of Ukraine, they killed 7 to 11 million Christians, and that murder was run by Lazar Kaganovich, who was also very much a Jewish, loyalty to Jews. And they hated the Christians of Ukraine, and they're killing them right now with Zelensky is Jewish and Blinken is Jewish. And the people that control the President of the United States, who calls himself a Zionist, is a Jewish, chief of staff, as a Jewish head of the State Department, a Jewish head of the Treasury Department, a Jewish head of the legal department, right, of this country, you know, the so-called the injustice Jewish Department of Injustice.
Well, I mean, Department of Homeland Security, there's a long list here.
Department
it's around 70,
Security,
70 75%.
They told us in our Jewish-controlled media that Mayorkas was a good example of diversity, that he was Hispanic or whatever.
Right.
Well, you know what? He writes about his, like, something about his Jewish ancestry. And the other day, our national media had him testifying in Congress about the danger to Jews because we got free speech. And people
That's
are
right.
criticizing the Jews who control our policy and are sending America bombs to kill tens of thousands of children and make hated America hated by the whole world. You know, there's three countries that voted against the resolution in the General Assembly a while back that simply said that Palestinians should have self-determination like any other people should have. They shouldn't be ruled over or occupied or oppressed by another people. Only three countries did that. And it was the United States and two little islands in the Pacific with like 100,000 people in them, you know. And only the United States did this because our country is controlled lock, stock, and barrel by these Jewish supremacists who have supremacy over our political system to the money. And it's not just AIPAC, folks, because AIPAC does have a lot of money. But that's a minor little thing compared to single billionaires. When Trump ran in the first election against, and by the way, Steyer was one of the candidates for the Democratic nomination. So was Bloomberg, right? And so was Sanders. Three Jews. Well, all of those Jews put their money and their support of money that they raised, millions, hundreds of millions, along with their own. They put it all behind Biden. That's the money that got Biden into election. That's the money that took over the Congress and caused Trump to be thing. If you don't understand Jewish power in America, you don't understand anything. Let's go back to the 14th Amendment or anything else you want to go to. I just wanted to make sure those points were made, that this is not something new. They'll always use any law. They'll go opposite the law to get what they want, and that's their
right.
power over us, and to not let us have our interests
exactly.
at stake.
Exactly right. Exactly right. All right, what I wanted to ask was, you mentioned the term anti-Semite or anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
Semitic peoples are Middle Eastern, right? They're not European. They're
mm-hmm.
Semitic peoples. So the
right.
quick question here is, the Khazarian Empire and the Ashkenazis are not Semitic peoples. They're Eastern European, and they adopted Judaism
right.
in the 600s. So to even use the term is bogus. They're not genuine, genetically speaking, Semitic peoples of the Middle East.
Well, they're very distinct. Let's get the process going. And this is a very fine-tuned thing. And this to understand this question means you have to go back and you got to look at the graves of what people were calling Jews, Judeans, the ones who crucified Christ, the ones who wrote the Talmud, which is one of the most vicious racist, supremacist, and
it's
nothing but books of hate. Now, you can go back and you can look at the graves of those people, and you can see where they're buried, right, who wrote the Talmud. You can see the ones who Jesus Christ was going against. Jesus Christ went into the temple, the religious temple of Judaism, to show how much they disrespected the words of God, and the wonder of God told Moses he wanted to destroy them all until Moses convinced him not to, whatever. But look at what Christ did. He went to the temple, and he was so incensed by these Jewish money changers. It sounds like Goldman Sachs, doesn't it? And J.P. Morgan. Goldman Sachs is run by Mr. Solomon before him, was Bankman, kind of the most corrupt bank in the world, along with J.P. Morgan. It's run by a friend of mine, a stockman, has a stock show, and he calls him he calls him Jamie Dimon. It's Diamond, actually.
That's
but,
funny.
But he's a Jew.
That's I get
the
it.
Two biggest banks in the world, and they're criminal banks. Goldman Sachs had 47 cases of fraud against it by the government. They were fined $8.7 billion for the fraud. But guess what? Goldman Sachs got a handover from the Jewish-controlled Federal Reserve. Five of the seven last Federal Reserve chairmen were Jews, and they had so those banks. They have huge power over them. 18 of the of the 25 biggest hedge fund operators were Jews, and they were also big contributors to the Biden campaign and against Trump and all the rest. So here's Goldman Sachs, right? So they're fined $8.7 billion, 35 different schemes, but they're actually given by the Federal Reserve. Literally, they get a digital check, right, for something, it's amazing, $956 billion in digital checks, which they could use to lend out and make, it's a ticket to make, you know, unbelievable amounts of money because it gives them the right to lend out that amount of money. That's a gift from the Federal Reserve. But
Total gift. But
they had $8.7 billion in fine. But they got back $900-something billion from the Federal Reserve because Jews control our Treasury Department because Jews are like a team and they work together. So that's a perfect example of what we're talking about here. And I'm not saying all Jews are bad. But I'm talking about the. And by the way, let me give you one more example of how they use law any way they want. There is no law in the United States of America. Just like everybody says in America, everybody's got equal rights. We're going to judge you by your merit of your skin. That's what Martin Luther King says. They say, actually, he didn't. He said that. But at the same time, he supported affirmative action and open racial discrimination, best qualified whites. He said this a million times. But stupid conservatives, even Tucker, has said this. This was what Martin Luther King advocated. He didn't. At the time he died, in fact, he was advocating racial discrimination on a massive level. So what he said at his speech before Congress about treating a black boy the same as a white boy, no, by the merit and not by their race, that was all a lie. But the point is that this is a giant lie because these Jews who run our system, and it's not blacks that run it, who run this system, and they serve their interests many ways sometimes when they divide and conquer the European Americans, because that's the one they're competing with the most for domination of America, because the European Americans are still 60% of the population. So when we go into this, how about an example that stared us in the face every Christmas, and it also shows you the nature of what we're fighting here. So in 1989, there was a Supreme Court decision, and what it was brought by the Civil Liberties Union, and by the way, it was run by Mr. Glasser, Jewish, and it's always been organized for Jewish interests, and it was run. It was also other Jewish organizations, the American Jewish Committee, and they sued, and they had this court case about separation of church and state, which is not constitutional, but that's still what the idea was about, and how that Christian symbols should not be allowed to appear or be built or put on public property. Ultimately, that could even mean cemeteries, like federal cemeteries for our soldiers. It could mean the top of national parks, whatever, on mountains, recognizing Christianity or some great man who died there or something. You can't put Christian symbols. You can't put a manger scene in front of the White House on public ground. You can't put it in front of a state capitol. You can't put it on a local capitol, right? But so they ended up, Supreme Court made a regulation that you can't. You can't even start to sing a Christmas carol in a school. Because that's just a Christian thing in a federal building, which is paid for by taxpayers. No, it's just part of our culture, what it is. And you know, certainly our family. And now this was legal to do from the time our Constitution was founded in 1989. Now, listen to this, Jeff, and everybody listen, Jeff, I've said this before in your program. I got to repeat it, and I hope you can repeat it to your friends and family when you start talking about the Jewish question a little bit and understand it better, okay? The same Supreme Court determination that said Christians, which were about, at the time, about 80% of the population of the country, and the rest of the people are favorable toward Christianity for the most part, ruled that you can't have any Christian symbols, any Christian religious thing, any creature or nativity thing, right? Any of that stuff. Right. At Christmas time, even at Christmas time, and then Christmas celebrating the birth of Christ, of course. You can't even do that at Christmas time because that's a violation of the Constitution. The same decision specifically singled out the oldest symbol of Judaism, which is the menorah. The menorah you look it up, it's all in Judaism. And they allowed Judaistic menorahs, this candelabra, to be erected on public ground. And they're erecting giant menorahs. And guess what, folks? For those of you, don't hold your breath, but, you're going to need some breath in a minute if you don't know this already. But the menorah, whereas Christian celebration of Christmas is peace on earth, goodwill toward men, silent night, holy night, peace on earth, loving each other, Christ born for all mankind. They erect a menorah which was lit in the temple at Jerusalem in celebration of a Jewish radical, but these radical terrorists called Maccabees, that slaughtered many, perhaps thousands of Jews and thousands of Greeks and thousands of Syrians. You know what for? You know what they slaughtered them for? Not because they were trying to kill Jews. They weren't like people fighting Israel in any way. They slaughtered them because they let them into their academies. They let their children marry Jews. They treated them equally. And the Maccabees saw this as a threat to their superior Jewish race. And they weren't going to take that. So they slaughtered these Jews. And this is celebrating a slaughter. And this was celebrated all the days of Hanukkah right outside the same, the White House that forbid in that same decision a manger scene, which is a scene of a symbol of beauty and love and a man calling for peace and bringing love, peace, and beauty to the earth. And those same Jews, by the way, that celebrate the menorah and celebrate Judaism. Judaism equates Jesus with an idolater and a devil worshiper. In fact, they even say that. Just go back and read John 44, the chapter. It says in there, you're a devil, you're the devil. And Jesus said back to the Pharisees, and it says the Jews answered him, he said this line, and you got to consider this line, folks. Today, if you say this line in many countries of Europe, in America, you're going to be banned, you're going to be flat out run off, right? And in Canada, you can go to jail. They had a minister go to jail on this the other day. Here's what Jesus said in John 8:44. By the way, the chapter earlier says that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that's been the most common quote in the world. This is from the same chapter. Just a few verses later, this is what Christ said.
Interesting.
To the Jews, to the Pharisees, who were the oligarchs of the Jews, just like the oligarchs of billionaires are today. He said, quote, ye, this is John 8:44, ye and ye fathers are the sons of the devil, and the work and the lusts of ye father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. In fact, you, effectively, your people, are the essence of the lie, that when you speak of a lie, you speak of yourself, because that is your essence. That is what's born in you. I mean, that's literally what he suggested. Then it goes on to say, and the Jews answered them a couple of verses later, and they called him a devil. Now, the same thing is in 2 Corinthians, when it says very clearly, and the Jews, and that's not saying all Jews, but it's talking about Jewish leadership, just like you would say Russians attack somebody, or you'd say Iranians attack somebody, or whatever, right? It says, and the Jews crucified our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and oppose all men, boy, don't they, and oppose all men, and have driven us out, and prevent us, the modern Christians, which were accepted by the Gentiles, but not by the Jews at all, and prevent us from teaching the truth about Jesus to the Gentiles. Boy, if that's not certainly current in today's world, what do we have to say? And then it goes on to say, but thank God, God's wrath has come upon them at last. Now, that's a quote that I think we could think about. I saw all these shows with Jewish commentators talking about how the media is just nothing but lies, and the Jewish media is a lie. The Jews in Israel couldn't get away with what they're doing. and the stain it's putting on America. Because it's not America. It's the Jewish rulers of America. It's the tyrants. It's the dictators who control this country, control our elections through mass media, you know, brainwashing people, control our elections by controlling the search engines of Google, for instance, control our elections by having a Wikipedia whenever you look up a political figure. If it's someone the Jews don't like, and Wikipedia is controlled by Jews, it's a Jew who got a $1 million award from Tel Aviv University. He says he's an open Zionist. This is the reality of our lives in this country, folks. And I know I sound passionate. I know I'm getting excited. I'm not really raising my voice. I'm just speaking passionately. Because what is more something more we should get more passionate about than our freedoms and our future and our lives and the very existence of our people and the very existence of all people on the earth who don't want to live under a Jewish global world dictatorship? We already have Jewish hegemony because by controlling the United States with 800 bases around the world, they certainly are the most powerful force on earth, and they're not working for the American people. And this is the same government that's invading these countries and supporting this mass murder of Palestinian children. It is the very same government that's wiping us off the earth. And it's the same government that's wiping off the earth the European people, because America is one of the leading forces now for LGBTism, which is destructive, for immigration into European countries, that's destructive. While at the same time, of course, Israel has exactly the opposite rules, these same Jews. So that's my theme. It's always my theme because it's the one theme that we can't talk about today. And if anti-Semitism if that's what they define it as now, saying that, and saying that Jews are murdering Palestinians and the Jewish government and the Jewish-controlled America is a party to this murder of Palestinians and this horrible atrocity that's going on before our eyes. If that's anti-Semitism, well, I'd have to confess and say, oh, yeah, if that's what anti-Semitism is, I am. I don't think I'm an anti-Semite in the traditional way. I don't oppose all Jews. But I certainly know that it's not Russians who rigged this election. It was Jews. It was Jews on the committees that did all the impeachment of Trump. It's Jews right now who are leading the effort to jail Donald Trump and destroy Donald Trump and take him off the ballot. And I'm telling you, I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump these days. I mean, it was disgusting what he did. He didn't speak out about this, what went on in Gaza.
That's right.
It was disgusting to me.
Well, his role in January 6th also, come on. He played a major role in
right.
That.
He should have pardoned all those people before he left. He made
exactly.
So many mistakes. But I
that's
must
not
tell
a mistake.
That,
I don't believe it was a mistake. Not for
well,
a minute.
Yeah, well, I don't know what happened, but whatever he did was wrong. And I can tell you this, folks, that I know sometimes you got to be pragmatic sometimes. I know that Trump did some good things for us when Trump said when it called the fake news media. I mean, that kind of got people awakened, and people started repeating that phrase when they thought about the lying media, right? When he said that if you don't maintain your borders, you can't maintain your country. And then when he won, against all odds, outspent media attacked him, even on late-night talk shows, all of these incredible powers. And then they tried, and they were the ones who did the insurrection after he was elected. You know, when he won, that inspired people all over the world. And the movement for the preservation of European heritage, both in America and in Europe, has greatly expanded because of some of the good things that happened with Trump. But at the same time, I'm saying this about Trump because I know one thing, that they hate him. And, I mean, they've even alluded to him. I've even read some Jewish sites alluding to him like they hate Jesus Christ. And they really do hate Jesus Christ. It says in the Talmud that Jesus Christ was actually not raised from the dead by God and by himself. He was raised from the dead by Jewish magicians, black magic, and God knows.
Who said that? Wait, who said that?
It's in the Talmud. It's in Talmud.
Oh, my.
And it says, well, you can read a book called, and those of you who don't understand this and don't believe it, read a book called Jesus in the Talmud. It's by Peter Schaeffer, who is the head of Judaic Studies at Princeton, no less. It's got forwards by leading scholars in the Jewish religion. I read about this years ago with Israel Shahak, who was a very big scholar in Israel.
He was terrific.
He exposed them. Yeah. He was terrific, and I actually dedicated my book, Jewish Supremacism, to this Jew. So I don't consider myself an anti-Semite. I don't hate all Jews. I don't even hate anybody. I try not to, but I despise and I oppose people who do evil, whether they're Jews or not. And those Jews who do evil, just as they, you know, if Epstein's spy ring, if Epstein would have been named Romanoff, and Ghislaine Maxwell was Romanoff II or whatever, some Russian name, Tchaikovsky or something, and they were all Jews, or excuse me, they were all Russians. Well, let's see, I just made the comparison right there for you. Made it easy for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine they're all Russians. They all had contacts to the head of the Russian KGB, or not the KGB anymore. It's the FSB, but the KGB are it's the Putin even. Epstein was a partner. They had Barack, the head of Israel, partner. He was head of the. He was the secretary of the fund by Wexner that paid for his mansion, which was an organization of these billionaire Jews who give, you know, hundreds of millions of billions of dollars over the years to candidates so they control our government. I'm not making this up, folks, right? All Jews. Spielberg's on that committee and Bronfman's, right, and all these other Jews. And now if these people would have all been Russians and had connections with Russian intelligence, the Russian presence and partnership with them.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a Mossad spy ring, but you get no mention of it in the press. And I'm asking you, how is this possible? How is it possible that it wasn't shown that this was not mainly it was a sex trafficking right? The same way that spy organizations, whether it's the CIA or the Mossad or anybody else, uses prostitution, and they seduce somebody. And in the old days, it was really dangerous to commit adultery in those days. You can lose your career, lose your job, your future, and also other things. And, of course, when people are raping children and young people below the legal age, they can go to jail for years and years and years and years, and their whole career is destroyed. They were doing the ultimate blackmail, and that's what Eri Menashe, former head of the Israelis, say. This is all fact, folks. You can find it out. Then you got to ask yourself a question. Why didn't I read about this in Newsweek? Why didn't I read about this? Why didn't I hear about this in the evening news and point out that Epstein and Maxwell, or father Robert Maxwell, the biggest spy for Israel, that the guy who was a partnership with Epstein, who ran the European branch, was Luc Brunel. I got a picture of him with an Israeli military cap on Pedophile Island, right? How yeah. come, and Dershowitz, his attorney, big advocate for Israel. Now, you tell me how that wasn't mentioned any time on ABC, NBC, CBS.
Never.
But you don't know that Jewish Zionists, supporters of Israel, control NBC, ABC, CBS, and I can prove it. So how does this fit? How does this make any sense? How does it make any sense that you don't know about this except for one factor, and it's not simply Zionists? And it's not simply Israeli anything. It's Jews all over the world who have a mafia that is beyond even the remotest conceptions of power that any mafia leader could ever imagine in this country of organized crime. And by the way, during all those years where the mafia was around in America, the truth is, I can prove this too, and I can show you FBI records and FBI statements on this and leading people that studied organized crime, the syndicate, and all kinds of the mafia. Part of it was the Italian mafia. The biggest part was the Jewish syndicate. The biggest mobster in the 20th century was a Jew who also gave most of his money to Israel and Jewish causes. His name was Lasky, right? So this is the reality of it. He was the first one of the heads of Murder Incorporated, the first great organized crime group in America, and it was overwhelmingly Jewish. This is what Americans don't know any of this, because you're living under a Jewish dictatorship, and because they control so much media, and because they can say anybody's an anti-Semite for pointing out the truth. Did any of these congressmen get prosecuted for racism or racial hatred or anti-Russianism? for saying, making up the lie that the Russians were trying to control American elections. Well, Israel and Jewish Zionist Americans and Jewish Zionist Britishers and French, they try to control their governments, and they get them in wars and the death of their own people, even wars based on lies like the Iraq War, like the Afghanistan War, like this, you know, this terrible war in Ukraine.
Show me any war that wasn't predicated on lies. I can't think of one.
Right. And ironically, and this is a hard point for people to get, right, but this is not just going on. People know about the – there's a huge numbers of people that have awakened to the lies of Israel and the lies of the Jewish media about what's going on in this horror. I mean, Netanyahu and other Jewish leaders of Israel have openly proclaimed genocide. They had – I just saw a Jewish individual, a very brave Jew. I got a gift and I'll put a medal on his chest if I had the opportunity to do it.
Uh-huh.
And he said, the truth is the amount of hatred and vile ethnic hatred whatever you think of as German is far worse than Israel. Because no German, no Hitlerite, no German would ever publicly tell the German people, we're going to kill all the Jews and we're going to exterminate the Jews. And they didn't say that because they've been ashamed of it. Because the mentality that the German people were taught during the 1930s under the National Socialists, but the same kind of values that we were taught in America as Christians. They didn't believe in mass murder. They, in fact, said they're one of the lowest crime rates in the world. Now, there was a war, and things happened there. But the truth is, no Nazis went around saying, we're going to kill 6 million Jews, and we're going to enjoy it.
I do think that's a very common refrain in Israel now. Wipe them all out. Kill them all. And so far, the American-Israeli war on the Palestinian people has now killed or left missing 4% of all the Palestinians in Gaza. And that's not enough for the rank and file.
And that's why I'm banned. That's why I'm banned, Jeff, as you know, because I can just make a few facts straight and make you consider certain facts that anyone can prove very quickly. And I can show you these facts, and that's going to challenge your whole narrative. For instance, the idea that Hamas is a terrorist organization, right, and how they're terrorists because they raided Israel. They did a military attack. They took over military bases, by the way. In the process, just about half, or maybe 60% might have been civilians that were killed, but they might have been killed by the crossfire. And this is what even the Israeli government says it's 40%. Of at least 40% of those that died were members of the Israeli military. Well, let me tell you, in Gaza, 95% of the people who die are men, women, and children. 78, almost 80% of the people who died in Gaza, and then you can look this up, even if you say it's 70% or less, but it's really about 78-80%, are women and children. And women and children, that's not even counting the old people who couldn't have fought in the mass or being there.
No.
That's not even counting, right?
Well, this is a lot of it's by people. A lot of it's by design as well. 4% of Palestinians now dead, wounded, or missing so far.
So almost 80% of the people killed are women and children who are obviously not part of Hamas, right? In the Hamas attack, right, about half of them, that's what Haaretz says, you know, were military and half were civilians in the process. And by the way, it wasn't like they're dealing with this carpet bombing, this massive bombing. And now, I'll think of it this way, okay? So before October 17,
David, we have to wrap it up. We have to wrap it up real quick. Okay. You got like 20 seconds max.
So, Jeff, you know how many children died, but the average American doesn't know how many children. They tell us every day about children dying and parents not seeing their children and children not seeing their parents who died and all that. And then you look at the facts, right? In Israel, the Israeli government admitted that 29 children died. That's 29 out of 1,200 Israelis. If that same figure was applied to the Israeli...
Perhaps half of that 1,200 were actually killed by Israeli soldiers or Apache helicopter pilots or other military members. That's another fact. We have to run, David. Thank you for the update. That was extraordinary. Over 1,000 Palestinian children in Gaza now are missing a limb, an arm, a leg, or maybe more. Brutalized. This is according to the United Nations. It's grim over there. And as I said long ago, nobody's going to stop this. It's going to keep going. David, thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
You heard that, but if Palestinians are a terrorist organization, then Israel is at 20 times worse. And it has been that way since its beginning. And Israel has been the leading terrorist in the world. They led the terrorism of communism. They led the terrorism of so many of these wars. And thank God we're starting to get some traction in educating the world.
Indeed. All right. We'll be right back with Hour 2 in just a couple minutes. Hang on.